In today's gospel reading, Jesus talked about agriculture. He did a lot of that. Did you ever notice that in the gospels? He talked about things that were very common and base that everybody knows about. When you were in grade school, did you ever plant little pumpkin seeds in paper cups with soil in them and watch them sprout and have them come up and then take them home and they would die on the shelf at home? I mean, they would, you put them in the garden and plant them or something, right? Everybody knows a little bit about planting a seed and what happens when you plant a seed. And Jesus said, he talked about agriculture again today, and the analogy is obvious to those who study the kingdom of God and all that it means. God has given us a window into his kingdom, and that window is what we see around us. He's kind of given us a reflection of what the kingdom of God is about. And he used agriculture with the people because they understood what he was talking about. He was talking to his disciples, and he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Do you know what a vine is? When I was a kid, we had vines in the garden that would grow. We had pumpkin vines. You ever seen a pumpkin vine or like a watermelon vine? They can get really long. I mean, they go on and on and on. We had some squash vines. The green squash that kind of get a yellow tip on, I think they're called butternut squash. And these vines actually crept out of the garden and began to go up into the pine trees that were next to the garden. These trees were about 20 feet tall, and the vines just kept climbing. And in the fall, when the squash came and began to ripen, you could look in these trees and see these yellow squash sitting in the trees. They were almost like the trees were decorated because the vines had woven themselves through the trees. And the ironic and interesting part about a vine is that, here's some characteristics of a vine, is that a vine begins from a seedling, doesn't it? It begins from a seed, and it takes a root in the ground. A vine has a source of nourishment, and it feeds off of nutrients in the soil. It has a lot of branches, has leaves, and has unlimited potential as long as it stays connected to the root. Now the branches, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. The branches of a vine have certain characteristics too. What are the characteristics of the branches of a vine or even the branches of a tree? They're always connected to the vine in order to thrive. They can't disconnect, can they? What happens to a branch that disconnects? It dies, that's right. If it disconnects, it's consumed by fire or blown away in the wind or it just dries up and crumples under your feet. The branches receive nourishment via the vine, which receives it from the root. The branches are as healthy as the vine and the roots. If the vine's not healthy, the branches aren't healthy. The branches can bear a lot of fruit if it receives food from the vine. The branches can easily climb over walls and up trees and through obstacles. The branches are covered with a protective layer on bigger vines. I asked my dog what was the name of that layer, and she said bark. And so the branches are covered with a layer of bark in many cases. And how about the fruit of the vine? How about the fruit that grows on the vine? There's certain characteristics. Jesus said if a vine doesn't bear fruit, then it's not much good, is it? The reason for the vine is to bear fruit. What are the characteristics of fruit? Fruit grows and develops as it receives nourishment. Fruit will be food for the masses if it grows to maturity. Fruit is bitter or unfit for food if it's disconnected from the vine too soon, or if it's allowed to rot. All fruit needs is a tiny trail of branch from the vine in order to thrive. I remember when I was a kid, we had pumpkins in the garden, and the biggest and best pumpkin was the one that seemed like at the very end. For some reason, it was the one at the end, and if you looked at the little stem coming off the pumpkin, a lot of times later in the year, that stem would wither into almost nothing, and yet it was still hanging on. In fact, when you went to pick that pumpkin, it was really hanging on tight. It held on for everything. And that pumpkin, as dry as that little stem seemed, was always receiving nourishment from that vine. The pumpkins had seed inside of themselves that reproduced and started new pumpkins. The fruit is the glory of the vine dresser and the owner. The fruit is the glory of the owner. We lived near an apple orchard. There were hundreds of apple trees. And there was a certain time of year when you went by those apple trees and you spotted these apples growing in the tree. And your eye was always drawn to the biggest and the reddest and the best, right? Always the best apples in the tree. It was the glory of the orchard owner for him to point to his orchard and say, look at those trees full of fruit. That's my glory. The fruit receives nourishment from the vine, which transmits the nutrients from the root to the fruit, from the root to the fruit. Can you see the analogies here as we talk about vines and branches and fruit? Can you see how that applies to us? What Jesus was saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. But how in the world are earthly vines that I've been talking about different from the heavenly vines, the vines in the kingdom of heaven that Jesus was talking about? One thing about the vines in the kingdom of heaven, one thing about Jesus is that there's no transplanting or seedlings outside of the connection to the original root source. You can't take a seed and plant it somewhere else. It's always connected to the vine. Plants can't grow independently. The seeds must come from one source and they must stay connected. I remember when we had strawberries when I was a kid. I earned money one summer picking strawberries. My brother used to make fun of me because I earned $2.35 for the entire summer picking strawberries. And he earned a lot more money than I did that summer because he went to work on the farm. But that's not important now. The important thing is that strawberries have what's called runners. I don't know if you know much about strawberries, but strawberry plants had runners. And the runners would come up from the center of the strawberry and they would plant themselves again into the ground. And then a new strawberry plant would come up from that runner and then that would shoot runners and plant. And if you weren't careful, you would have strawberries covering the entire ground. Even if you planted them originally in rows, those runners would creep out, and you have to take the runners and pick them up and put them back into the rows so that the plants would grow in the proper place. That's more like the vine that Jesus was talking about. The things that cause the plants to grow are always connected to the vine. They couldn't grow independently. The plants are designed to be in groups like a vineyard or a garden or a church. The weaker branches can receive fruit from the stronger, all of which are connected to the vine. And the healthiness of one branch affects the whole group. And the sickness of one branch can cause an effect to the whole group. What are the ways in which the kingdom of God vines are similar to the earthly vines? Here's some ways. The vine dresser is in charge of seeing which branches and fruit are healthy and which ones are sick, and cleaning the vine of the sick ones. Did you ever see pruning take place? You know what pruning is? You know what bonsai trees are? Pruning and vines is when you cut away those branches and those parts of the vine that are unnecessary. You take those away and you clean off the branch. Why do you do that? So that the healthy ones can thrive, right? And so when the vine dresser comes and he prunes the branches, he does a necessary step of taking some of the dead wood and taking some of the unproductive branches off so that the healthy ones can thrive. Sometimes I noticed when I was young that birds would come and they would punch a hole with their beak in the strawberries or in the apples or in the pumpkins or whatever fruit was growing in the garden. The birds would come and punch a hole in them. You know what that's about, right? Birds punching holes in fruit. Sometimes you had to take that fruit and throw it away because it wasn't edible. The birds punched holes in it. You couldn't eat it anymore. So that fruit was thrown away. Birds in the form of cares and worries and sin and distraction and unbelief and unforgiveness may come and eat holes in the fruit of our lives, making it inedible and worthy to be fed only to the cattle. On the orchard, they used to grind up what they call the windfalls. Windfalls are apples that fell on the ground from the wind. And after they laid on the ground a couple of days, they really weren't very good to eat. They had bruises in them. And so they would pick up those apples and they'd throw them in this huge vat and they'd begin the grinder. And the grinder would grind those apples up. And then they had a press and the press would press down on those ground up apples. And out of the bottom of that press came apple juice. And it was the best apple juice in the world. It was apple cider, the real stuff, unfiltered. And we used to hold a glass under there and take a little glass full of apple cider. It was wonderful. But what happened to the residue of the apples after they were pressed and all the juice was taken out of them? When they were dried out, they took that residue, they took those peelings, they took all those crushed apples without the juice in them, and they fed them to the pigs. And the pigs liked them, by the way. They were good for pig food. But after the juice had been squeezed out of them and there was no more nutrients left in them, the pigs liked the apple, the residue of the apples. So the fruit which had been crushed and had all the juice drained out or squeezed out was only worth feeding to livestock. The juice comes from the vine, which sends it from the root to the fruit and thus is part of the whole thing. One other thing about vegetation, about trees and vines, is there another place that you can think of that trees and vines get their nutrient from? How about from the sun? The sunlight, that's right. We all know about the fact that vines and leaves and trees soak up carbon dioxide and they put out oxygen. And so they receive the light of the sun, which gives them nutrients as well. In Deuteronomy 22:9, it says this. It says, do not plant two kinds of seed in your vineyard. If you do, not only the crops you plant, but also the fruit of the vineyard will be defiled. What's two kinds of seeds? Remember when Jesus talked about the parable of the sower and the soils, and he said the sower went out to sow seed, and he said, and the seed was the word of God. He said he wants the seed to be sown in your heart. But in Deuteronomy, it says, don't sow two kinds of seed in your heart. There's only one word of God. There's only one kind of seed that which we need to receive and have allow to be sown in our hearts. The seed is the word of God, but there are other words that a person could conceivably receive, but we don't want to be receiving two kinds of seed. It says only have one kind of seed planted in your heart, and that seed would be the word of God. Psalm chapter 1 says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers or the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields his fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so with the wicked. They were like the chaff that the wind blows away. That tells us a lot about what the fruit is, about the word of God, about the fact that a person is like a tree that's planted by the streams of water will thrive. Psalm 92 says this, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. So trees that are planted by streams of water and trees that are planted in the house of the Lord flourish. Trees that are planted by streams of water and trees that are planted in the house of the Lord flourish. Are you planted in the house of the Lord? Are you planted by streams of water? The point is here that we must remain connected always to Jesus and to his words. When he said, I am the vine and you are the branches, he wanted us to always remain connected to him. He said, abide in me and I will abide in you. What's the word abide mean? The word abide means to stay, to rest, to stay there, not to give up, not to leave, to dwell in him. His words are our nourishment. He said, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. His spirit is the water from which we draw strength, just like seeds draw from water and vines draw from water. We cannot go it alone. Did you know that? He always talks about the people in plural, never intending for one person to be alone without the church. What is the vine today? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, but he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. What is the vine today? The vine is still Jesus. And how? And where is Jesus? Where's the body of Christ? Right, sitting right here, that's right. The vine is the church. Do not become disconnected from the vine, said Jesus. Stay connected. Stay in the church. He called us his body. He called this the bride of Christ. Therefore, the church becomes the vine to which you must stay connected. The church is the conduit through which the Spirit moves and through whom Christ is proclaimed. If you stay connected to the root and the vine and receive fruit from Jesus through the church, you will taste and see that the Lord is good. You will receive from God the desires of your heart. Did you read the rest of the gospel today, what Jesus said? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Remember the big if at the beginning of that sentence. If you abide in me, if you stay in me, said Jesus, if you stay in me, I will stay in you. And you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. This is Memorial Day weekend, during which we remember those who gave their lives for our country and those who served with pride and honor. I want to tell you about a man. His name was Phil. He was my uncle. When he was in the military, just after World War II, he was in the barracks. And the barracks were joined together with a little space in between the buildings. They were that really cheap metal. And a man in the next barracks was cleaning his rifle. And he cocked his gun, and he pulled the trigger, thinking there was nothing in it. And there was a bullet in the chamber, and the chamber went through the wall, and it went into my Uncle Phil's back, and it paralyzed him. And for 52 years, my Uncle Phil was in a wheelchair from that paralysis, from that bullet that went into his back. Now, he was considered a hero because he was serving his country at the time. One thing he never was he was never bitter. He was a godly Christian man who stayed connected to the vine. He stayed connected to the vine. In his wheelchair, and from that wheelchair, he taught us kids how to do origami, how to fold paper and make it into different things. He was an inventor, a very, very crafty inventor. He sold some of his inventions to General Motors. He invented a way to open the side of a van door and make it clear the side of the van, some of those hinges and things that he invented. He was never a bitter man. He was always talking about God. He was always a faithful servant of the Lord. When he would come to visit, he would come to church and wheel up to the front of the church in his wheelchair, and he was always asked to speak, because a man in a wheelchair who had every right in his life to be bitter was not. He was connected to the vine, and he always had a great testimony. His testimony was that Jesus is with me and nothing else matters. I'm connected to him, and he feeds me and he provides for me. You can decide to be like my Uncle Phil and say, I'm going to stay connected to the vine no matter what. Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us, listen, the Father prunes you. Sometimes he takes away some things in your life that you don't need anyway. Sometimes he takes away some things in your life that are dead wood. Let him do the work. Let him clean you up. Let him be the vine dresser who dresses the vine. To bear much fruit and always be satisfied, isn't that a better thing than to starve for water and nourishment? To bear much fruit and always be satisfied, isn't that better than to just be hungry all the time and never know where your nourishment's coming from? You are a branch. You are a branch, and the choice is yours. You should continue in Jesus and be fruitful. How do you do that? Stay connected. Stay connected for all you're worth. Never let go, because he's not going to let go of you. See, the vine doesn't let go of the branches. Sometimes the branches wither and die and they let go of the vine, but the vine doesn't let go of the branches. Jesus will never let go of you. You stay connected through Bible study and reading. You stay connected through fellowship with the saints, with each other, encouragement, admonishment. You stay connected through the Eucharist, through taking in yourself the body and blood of Christ. You stay connected through prayer and thanksgiving. Very important. You stay connected through confession and absolution. You stay connected through the church. You stay connected through loving one another. I say to you today, stay connected. Dwell in that place. Abide in him. Hang on with all your might. And never let go. Amen.